Good evening or good morning, depending on what time you're listening to this. My name is Paul Aronson, and this is Tokyo Progressive's Chocopol News, again, coming to you from Japan. I'd like to read something that appeared in the Asahi Shimbun News Service way back in January of 2002. Said, David Brian Thomas, co-founder of the Children's Right Council of Japan, seemed well on his way to marital bliss when he tied the knot in 1987. A TV sound technician in London, the Welshman, hired a boat on the River Thames for the reception to his marriage to a Japanese former actress. But things went sour after the couple moved to Japan. According to Thomas, after the son Graham Hajime was born in 1990, Thomas's mother-in-law moved into their home in Saitama Prefecture and began to freeze him out, monopolizing time with the child and making Thomas feel unwanted. Then, in November of 1992, his wife and son moved out to live with the relatives. To Thomas's surprise, the family lawyer produced a document that said the child had been legally adopted by the Thomas's lawyer in-laws. Excuse me. Later, the courts found the document was forged and overturned the adoption. Well, here to talk with me about the organization Children's Rights Council of Japan and perhaps the parent organization, as well perhaps as his own case, is David Brian Thomas. So welcome, David.
It sounds pretty horrible. I mean,
it's a nightmare. It's a parent's nightmare.
Yeah. And I take it that what you experienced is not an isolated case, that this kind of thing happens quite a lot.
Sadly, it's not an isolated case. In my case, it's not unique. By no means.
So would you like to talk a little bit more about your own case or about the Children's Rights Council? Or
yes. Well, in my case, as you mentioned there, it was marital bliss and, you know, the normal thing, falling in love and expecting to start a family without any hassle and go about it in the normal way and cohabit and live together. But in my case, as soon as my son was born, that's when the interference started. And it's not unique to my case. There have been several cases where there's been parental on the part of the spouse. I say spouse because the gender doesn't enter into it. It applies to both male and female. And there seems to be a pattern that has occurred in several of the cases that have come to light, where once a child is born, the family come in and come into the nest, and so to speak, and take over. And in my case, I didn't realize it at the time. I was perfectly unaware of what was happening and what eventually would happen. And little did I realize that this was premeditated, sadly.
So at some point after the child was born, there was this plan to remove one of the parents from that child's life.
That's basically what it is. And as I stated in the article, that basically it's the fact that there was a situation where they wanted to negate my existence. And I refuse to be negated. I will not be cut out of my son's life.
I take it at this time you were not a member of this organization, or the organization had not been founded even, is that
the,
right?
The organization did not even have an international chapter. This organization, Children's Rights Council, had been established by David Levy in Washington, D.C., and over 12 years ago. And I, at the time, was doing voluntary work with Japan Helpline, and as a result of that, I was put in touch with Walter Bender, who was the co-founder, and he had an situation where he had been living in marital bliss with his wife, Japanese wife, and two daughters.
And here in Japan?
Yes, in Japan, and he had a very good job, and in his case, he came home one day, basically the same thing that happened to me, and all the shoes had been removed from the entrance to his house. And he suspected something, naturally, and the wife had gone into hiding. In his case, he didn't know where his wife and daughters were. This is another particular pattern that occurs. The spouse goes into hiding, and in a lot of cases, the parents of the spouse are collaborators. They don't, mm-hmm. and they conceal where their child is.
Mm-hmm. Now, this was about the same time as your own case, is that right? Or
it actually occurred about 2 years after my case.
I see.
And there was nothing to address this particular problem mm-hmm. at the time.
So actually, the actual birth of the organization started with him and yourself.
Well, basically, what happened? Walter was put in touch with me by Kevin. What's his name? The organizer of Tokyo Helpline,
Ken Joseph, the son,
who was maybe. Very, very.
I know there's a father and a son, probably the son. Right?
Yes, the son, right. Ken Joseph Jr., mm-hmm. and he was extremely helpful. Mm-hmm. He actually intervened in a situation mm-hmm. where they tried to disallow me mm-hmm. access to my son after the court had allowed it.
Okay.
So what happened? Walter then spoke to me about this, and what transpired was the fact that his mother knew of the Children's Rights Council in Washington, D.C.
I see. So they had existed prior to...
They had existed okay. prior to us, but mm-hmm. there was no chapter, international chapter. All the chapters
were.
Existed in the state, United States, with the head office in Washington, D.C.
Okay.
So Walter then got in touch via his mother with the parent organization in Washington, mm-hmm. and... We realized that after we decided to climb Mount Fuji together, and with what uh-huh. transpired on that day was a kind of, I don't know, whether you saw a flash of light and something uh-huh. happened, and we realized something has got to be done mm-hmm. in Japan to mm-hmm. address this particular problem. So to cut a story short, we actually got the rules and regulations for establishing a chapter, and David Levy was most cooperative. He's the president mm-hmm. of the organization.
Uh-huh.
We also have an honorary president who is the wife of the ambassador to Washington, mm-hmm. Lady Catherine Myers. Mm-hmm. She has also been a victim of child abduction, but that is to Germany.
The wife of the ambassador?
Ambassador to Washington.
From
the United Kingdom.
Okay.
The ambassador to Washington
okay.
from the United Kingdom.
Okay, so it's soon after making contact with the head organization of the United States, you realize that it's, as you said, it's not an isolated problem.
Not an isolated case, a situation at all.
And so I take it that there are now probably more than just the two of you in Japan who are working on fighting to
yes.
get access to you. You still don't have access to your child, right?
Or? You see, what happened when I found out that my son had been illegally adopted behind my back,
mm-hmm.
I then took the matter to court.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually won the case. Actually, mm-hmm. what had happened was criminal.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't just I took it to a civil court, but... Mm-hmm. But it could have become a criminal case, in which case, had my wife been found guilty via the prosecutor's office, mm-hmm. she could have ended up in prison for mm-hmm. 3 years. I didn't particularly want that, but uh-huh. I wanted my in-laws punished for doing what they did,
mm-hmm.
which was violated mm-hmm. my human rights, but above all, and I consider it paramount, my son's
right.
human rights.
Yeah, I guess it must be really difficult because you have the mother, you have the her parents, you've got the child who I guess has been living with her, and then if she goes to prison, that complicates everything.
Exactly.
So what actually happened when you won the civil case?
The civil case obviously didn't affect my wife going to prison, but what happened then was that the adoption was annulled.
Okay.
There was an annulment of the adoption.
Mm-hmm. And how do things stand now?
But then, mm-hmm. then the family decided, okay, they lost the case. It went up to the Supreme Court. They then decided to file a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
What normally happens in the case of divorce in Japan,
mm-hmm.
where the child is young, under 5 years of age, or mm-hmm. even under 7 years of age or more, the custody is granted to the parent.
Mm-hmm.
So, and also the parent, say for example, the foreign parent,
mm-hmm.
loses custodial rights to the child.
Mm-hmm.
Technically, I mean, if a court can award
mm-hmm.
custody to the mother, which it normally does in the case of a young child. And then the father has to apply for visitation rights, which, you know, seem idiotic. I mean, the organization, CRC, Children's Rights Council, advocate, even in the case of divorce, separation, yes, even in the case of divorce, that there should be an ongoing communication and connection between the child and the non-custodial parent. What's been happening in Japan is, even in the cases where it hasn't gone to court and has been settled amicably, is a perhaps not the correct word, but where it's been organized and done legally, what happens in some cases, or most cases, the custodial parent, that means the physical access that the parent has with the child, holds the child like chattel, you know, holds the child as an object of possession. And the non-custodial parent, that's why we are fighting for the rights of the non-custodial parent. The non-custodial parent has been denied access. And this doesn't only apply to fathers. We have cases of mothers. There's been a case of an American mother whose Japanese father, again with the help of his family, took their son and denied access to the mother.
I see. So it happens to people. And I suppose here in Japan we're talking about so-called international marriages, and I suppose it's not only international marriages, right?
It's not. I had a case the other day, and I wanted to... we started lobbying together. A mother, Japanese mother, who had gained a divorce from her Japanese husband, and they had a son. A son, I think, at the time was 5 or 6. And the husband was denying access of the mother to her own child, which I found abhorrent.
And I guess then the case takes on the color of each country or community that it takes place in. And here we have a number of expatriates, and I suppose like yourself, and was it David Bender?
Walter Paul Bender, American. He's an American citizen.
Did I understand that from reading one of the articles that he actually, was it him? Somebody was actually accused of abducting his own child, was that?
That was the Dutchman, Engel Nyman. Engel Nyman, that case was really horrific.
He was a victim of the same kind of thing you are, and yet...
There was a complication there because there was a, you know, his wife, Japanese wife, was most uncooperative, and the child went into hospital for some treatment, but he wanted to take his daughter to Holland because his father was very, very ill, and so what he did, he went to the hospital the day before her release. And that's perhaps, I don't know whether we consider it a mistake or not, but he took the child out of the, out of the hospital. The mother was there, and he got the child into the car and then tried to drive away. The wife held onto the car, held onto the mirror, I think it was, and was dragged some feet. And she sustained, not life-threatening, but she did sustain injury. And he got the daughter to a port in southern Japan and was about to board a boat and then take the child off the island and then eventually to Holland. And he was stopped, I think it was because he gave some information and they traced him as a result of him being honest in giving his address. Had he not given that, he might have got away with it. But there was a very, very sad ending to that story because he was taken into custody and he was actually put into prison. And unfortunately, while he was in prison, his father died in Holland. And they granted him leave to go to his father's funeral, but it created a problem even amongst his family where his sister wasn't very... cooperative. You know, she didn't know the whole story.
Right.
So that's what that was.
I see. So here we have a kind of very, very intricate case, and part of it is related to how laws don't, I guess the laws don't exist to protect the children or to protect the rights of the parent whose child is taken out from under them. Is that part of the problem in Japan?
The problem in Japan is that there are no laws of enforcement as in some other countries, mm-hmm. where, you know, there's an agreement. Even if one parent has physical custody, mm-hmm. and the other one can have legal custody, where, you know, decisions are made what school the child mm-hmm. will go to and what kind of... Whereas the other parent has physical custody. Mm-hmm. In most cases in Japan, the physical custody has gone to the parent whether before it's been granted by the court or not. Mm-hmm. And then the non-custodial parent is left out in the cold mm-hmm. with very few options. You know, mm-hmm. there's nothing. Mm-hmm. There's no way to address, yes, they can go to court, and yes, there can be a ruling. Yes, there can be visitation mm-hmm. rights granted. Mm-hmm. But there's no mechanism to enforce these. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem. Even in my case, I'm legally still married. Mm-hmm. And when I said to my lawyer, well, my wife and I are still married. Does that mean we can still cohabit? He said yes, mm-hmm. but if you went into her home and she could get you for a rape, I said, just a moment, I'm not mm-hmm. going to go that far. Mm-hmm. I just want to live, cohabit with my wife and my son, mm-hmm. and above all, my son. Mm-hmm. And he said, technically, yes, you are entitled to. Mm-hmm. You're still married. Mm-hmm. And you're also, you have 50% custodial rights over your son. I hate talking mm-hmm. about my son as an object or chattel because he's not.
But that's the way the law
But that's, you know, the law. But then when it comes to enforcing that particular mm-hmm. law, there's no mechanism in place for it.
And it's contradictory. As you said, you could be accused of rape.
I mean, it's idiotic. Yeah. I mean, it's you know, it's...
I assume that by becoming linked to the international organization, things have... there are many more... avenues for fighting. Is
yes.
that right?
Well, one of the things we've been networking, and one of the things that's come about as a result of this, we've discovered laws and international situations where there's an inadequacy. It's not only in Japan, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. it's not only a case between America and Japan or Japan and Great Britain. Mm-hmm. It's really international. Mm-hmm. It's happening all over the world. Mm-hmm. One of the things we would like to see done, and this is something that was mentioned mm-hmm. by the Foreign Office when I first contacted the mm-hmm. Foreign Office in London, was that to get Japan to ratify the Hague Convention.
Mm-hmm. What is that? What would that...
The Hague Convention. At least there would be some legal mechanism involved. But again, there are countries that have ratified the Hague mm-hmm. Convention.
What is that?
It would allow, for example, legal, situations to occur, where the both countries involved mm-hmm. would negotiate or at least bring about some kind of agreement, mm-hmm. An international agreement. It's not always held up because in some cases some countries have been reneging on uh-huh. this agreement.
Uh-huh. The Hague Convention specifically deals with
there's one particular one which incidentally allows the rights of the child.
Uh-huh, okay.
That's paramount, the rights of the child, mm-hmm. Which Japan ratified in not so much ratified but actually was involved in compiling the agreement way back in the 1980s.
But they never ratified
the agreement. There was a big trumpet blowing and what have you situation a few years ago when I remember Takako Doi proudly announcing mm-hmm. that Japan had ratified the United Nations Treaty on the Rights of the Child. Mm-hmm. But Japan has reneged on that. It's not following the mm-hmm. treaty. You see, the treaty is not an enforceable law. Mm-hmm. It's up to the countries to abide by it.
But in the absence of even ratifying the treaty,
yes,
it would be one more step to the creation of laws.
It would help. It certainly help. Mm-hmm. The mechanism would be there to at least assist. Mm-hmm. One of the things that came to light as a result of publicizing this, and also journalists pursuing certain ministries. Mm-hmm. The Ministry of Health and Welfare, their argument was, well, there's not sufficient need at the moment mm-hmm. to ratify the Hague Convention. There's not enough. On the contrary, uh-huh. There is very much evidence now.
So it sounds like bureaucratic inertia in the opposite direction.
Absolutely. That's exactly non-movement. The bureaucratic inertia is exactly the case.
A lack of movement.
And lack of knowledge on the
inertia in the sense of lack of movement, I guess, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Now, I understand that as we're talking, there's a convention going on in the United States.
Well, actually,
we're recording this right now. It's 24th of September.
Yeah, there is actually some candlelit virgils occurring, but what's coming up on the 4th of October is something basically historic.
Mm-hmm.
Whichever political spectrum you are, mm-hmm. whether you're Republican or Democrat,
mm-hmm.
what's happening this time, for the first time ever,
mm-hmm.
there'll be a president present mm-hmm. at the in Washington for the National Conference on Missing and Exploited and Runaway Children.
I see.
And
President
Bush will be present at this.
Bush will actually be present.
So it'll gain a lot of media attention.
And this is October?
October the 4th,
okay,
this
that'll
year.
That'll be concurrent with when this is beginning to be broadcast.
Right.
So, uh-huh.
So that's something we are looking forward to.
Uh-huh.
And the co-founder of CRC Japan will be present at that conference.
Mm-hmm.
And we're hoping that media attention will draw out
mm-hmm.
More information about this.
Right.
This
now, this is being broadcast over the internet, of course, internationally, because the internet is international. But it's actually coming from a Tokyo-based internet site,
right.
Tokyo Progressive. And if there are people listening in Japan or outside Japan and they would like to help or they would like to get help, is there some way they can get in contact with the group, first of all, in Japan?
Yes. Well, we are on the internet, actually,
mm-hmm.
and
okay.
We have a website, and there's an email address
okay.
They can use, and the email address is emari@earthlink.net.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you better spell it.
Yes, it's E, all small letters, E M A R I at
mm-hmm.
followed by Earthlink, E A R T H L I N K .net.
Okay.
And that's Walter Bender.
Okay.
I can be contacted at CRC Japan
mm-hmm.
Via facsimile or telephone and message and so forth. And the number in Japan, it'll be the Japan code for the country code, followed by 03-53-17-0357. Also, our address appears on the internet.
Okay.
I think we're at crc@yahoo.com, I think it is.
Okay, well, people can still check because it's the Children's Rights Council of Japan. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. So if people want to get in touch and somehow they miss the email address or the telephone number, they can check that way. Of course, if people really have trouble, they can contact me at this Tokyo Progressive website, tokyoprogressive.org, and I'll do my best to help people get in touch with you as well. And I assume that there are, of course, also people outside Japan who are interested. They can still get in touch with
yes.
the first address. Is that correct?
Yes, yes,
okay.
yes. It's World Wide Web,
mm-hmm.
yes.
Well, it looks like we're getting close to the end of the time allotted. So is there anything else you want to say before we close?
To those parents who are non-custodial parents, never give up on your children.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I discovered, and I never realized it until I became a parent,
mm-hmm.
was how awesome and how powerful love is.
Mm-hmm.
And to those parents who have been denied access to their children, don't give up on
mm-hmm.
your child and hang in there. And above all, you're not alone. You have other people alongside you now fighting for the rights of your children.
Okay. Well, thank you very much and good luck.
Thank you very much.
I'll shake hands with you. You can't see it, but you'll hear
it's
it.
It's been a pleasure talking
okay.
to you. Thank
Take
you.
Care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Sadalam, sadalam.
Átkozott gyötrelem, miért nem virágoztál minden fa tetején, minden fa tetején, dió fa lábelén, hogy szakisztott volna minden lejáns legény. Mert én is szakisztottam, s el is szalasztottam. Én is szakisztottam, s el is szalasztottam. Egy de még szakisztanék, hajóra találnék, hajóra, ha szépre, régi szeretőmre.
Szorút kötnék.